To another edition of the broadcast. I am Vicky Barcelona, and with me as always is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah, what's our contact info?
Well, we have an Instagram. It's the broadcast 999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029, or you can email us at thebroadcast999@gmail.com.
And I know last episode we were all about solidarity, and I was teasing that maybe this one won't be so much that.
Yes.
I found this article I've been wanting to talk about for a while, because some of these are a little long, but they're pretty intense.
Okay.
It's people share stories of their extreme revenge gone too far.
Oh, no.
And I feel like, I mean, I will hold a grudge forever. Like, I realize, like, unless, like, somebody actually comes and does, like, hey, I apologize, or, you know, or does something to change my mind.
Okay.
But if nothing ever happens, I'm going to hold that grudge. Like,
oh.
If I'll think about it, I'm like, no, I still hate you. Okay, cool. I'll be nice.
I remember 12 years ago, you stole my pencil. I still hate you.
It's like, you were so mean to me when I complimented your shirt in second grade, and I still hate you.
That's amazing.
No, but I'm, when it comes to revenge, I guess I'm too nervous. That I'll get in trouble somehow.
Yeah,
like it'll backfire.
Yeah.
Like the only revenge I've ever really done was basically prove like an ex-boyfriend wrong.
Okay.
So for a long time I was very jaded. I was very like not wanting to make friends. I was so like in my head about it. I'm like, no, people just want to take advantage of me, and like I couldn't get it out of my head. So we'd always fight about it. Cause he was very much like he would walk into a room and make best friends with everyone.
Oh.
He'd leave like, this is my best friend. Like that's...
Yeah, he clicked with people easily.
Mm-hmm. And so we would always fight about that. And it was really, really dumb. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong. So I went out and became friends with a lot of people that were friends of friends, like in the music scene and stuff.
Yeah.
And I ended up clicking and becoming friends, whether we stayed in our lives forever or just Facebook friends now, but like meaningful connections, and I'm really glad I did it.
Was he proud of you for that?
No, it was one of those, like, I'd show up places that, and like he would happen to be there too, because mutual friends in the music scene.
This like after you guys broke up?
Yes. And
oh,
so
okay.
He'd see, like, I would walk into a room and I was friends with everybody.
So did you become friends with everybody after you guys broke up type of thing? It like, wasn't
yeah,
like...
Yeah, or we became closer friends. Like, more than acquaintances. I think it might have been acquaintances beforehand, and then we became friends.
Got it.
And so I'd walk into a room and everyone, like, I was friends with everybody. So
do you think you did that after you broke up to kind of be like, no, I can
do this. I can do this. And they'll be better friends to me than you.
Oh, that's a little revengeful.
That's as most I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it because I made all these friends and connections and I've experienced all these things. And I'm really glad I did.
Good.
For like my reason, not even so much for the original reason.
Yeah, I'm not really revengeful. I'm on the same.
Vengeful?
Vengeful? Revengeful?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
I don't really get, because I'm always like, I could, but I know what I would do would probably be way worse than what you did, and then I would look like the bad guy.
Right.
So I'm just going to have you look like the a-hole.
Yeah.
And like, me look like an angel.
Well, and that was it. It's like, I killed him with kindness, because he kept telling everybody that I was crazy and that I was doing A, B, and C, or stalking him, which, funny enough, I later found out he was stalking. No, he was stalking me. Because we later started talking, and he's like, I'm like, oh no, I moved to this place. And he's like, oh no, I know. I'm like, how do you know where I live? He's like, yeah, no, I know where you live. I know what you're doing.
But well,
like,
you kind of have a public life a little.
No, like the street I lived on, kind of a thing. Not so much like the town or the neighborhood.
Oh.
He knew the street.
Interesting.
He's like, I was just keeping track on, like, making sure you're okay. I'm like,
ew,
and that's why. Exactly. And I'm like, we were talking mad smack about me to the point where I've talked about this on the podcast. Sailor Sage, her husband now. So cool to say that. He was friends with him.
Oh, right.
And so
that
when
guy.
They, yeah. So when they were, when, you know, Sage and him were started dating, he's like, you know, Vicky's crazy, right? It's like, no, she's not.
Well.
And then a few years, not that kind of crazy.
Well.
And so it was years later, he's like, no, you are no, like, it's him who's the nuts, like, the nutso. Like, he came and he's like, no, you are totally cool.
So if your boyfriend, let's say there was a scenario, your boyfriend sleeps with one of your good friends, mm-hmm. and you had the opportunity to then sleep with one of his good friends, would you?
Depends if I'm attracted to him.
No, you're attracted to him.
Yes. Then yes. I did that after. So we had broken up.
I would say that's kind of revenge.
Okay. I did do a revenge bang. It wasn't a friend of his. So like I said, he was that guy that he loved everybody. Everyone loved him. The one person he did not like from my circle of people was I don't want to say his name because people may know him. But he was a friend I've had for years.
Okay. Let's call him Phil.
Okay. Phil, I've actually banged a dude named Phil, sorry.
Well, there's another one for
you. Sorry, no, it wasn't him. So Phil and I had met at a Comic-Con and got a picture together, and then I re-met him years ago later, and I'm like, oh, like at a station event, funny enough. I'm like, you're this person, let's be friends. Like, and we became friends on MySpace. That tells you how long ago that was.
MySpace.
And I'd run into him, and we ended up becoming friends, and there was a time where we're like maybe kind of wanting to see each other, but not... It was kind of weird.
You guys didn't hook up then?
No, we had made out a couple times, but I'm like, I'm so not, like, I was attracted to him, but he had the baby voice, and I hated it. And I'm
like, Vicky, you're so sexy.
And he's like, oh, more kisses. And it's like, no.
You gotta be on, like, a certain type of level to be able to, like, have that voice and get away with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And he was so, like, masculine looking, and, like, it just took me, like, out of it.
Yeah.
Anywho. But we never had actually had sex. So... Fast forward, he meets him at a comic convention. Him and I always get pictures together at Comic Cons. And he walks away. He's like, I effing hate that guy.
Your current boyfriend met Phil.
At that time, yeah. He met Phil. And he's like, I effing hate that guy. I'm like, why? He's like, you could just tell he just wants you. And he's met guys who have had crushes on me or even like listeners and stuff. And it never bothered him until this guy. And he wasn't even on like all over me. He was just being himself.
Was he very attractive? Like, more attractive than your boyfriend?
Well, he was dressed in, let's just say the cosplay he was doing was something that I very much like.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that was added to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so months and months later, when we broke up, because we broke up once, got back together, and I say, if we break up, we're breaking up for good.
Yeah.
We're only getting back together once. So in that time before we got back together, we were still kind of texting and stuff, but I knew... He was being shady. I'm like, oh, he's going to maybe hook up with someone tonight. It's a very long story with that, so I'm not going to get into it because it's not important, not relevant. But I'm like, all right, fine. If you're going to be banging other chicks and like lying to me about it or being shady,
yeah,
I'm going to do the same thing.
So you banged this dude.
So I went to a specific event because, again, I don't want to say too many specifics.
It was probably a Comic-Con or something.
Something like that. Something like that.
Okay.
And I ended up getting like real drunk partying because I brought my margaritas and we ended up hooking up.
Doing it. Full meal deal.
Full meal deal.
Penis and vagina.
Sarah.
Why can't you say that? I was like, that was, what is it? That was medical terms I used.
What, did you say and or in?
In.
No, you can't say that, Sarah. Anywho.
Eggplant and taco.
Sure. Anywho.
And then did you tell your...
No, I was texting him that night, like, you know, good night, honey. I'm like, I didn't tell him that.
And you send his picture of you and the dude.
I will say, much like I was disappointed when making out with him, I was disappointed when doing it.
Because the baby voice was just, oh, yeah, no, it was just so good.
When you're hooking up with somebody and you request a change in...
Rhythm?
Velocity.
Okay.
Like speed.
Yeah.
And they go from a 0.5% to 1%.
So you wanted faster.
And it was so boring. It was seriously so boring.
Maybe he's not used to the cardio. He's not used to speeding it up.
But there's anyways, that's going to cause a whole sentence to get bleeped out. Anyways, it wasn't really even worth it. We hooked up later, you know, a couple times over the years, and it was just very...
It didn't get better?
It did not get better, even sober.
Oh, man.
It was so very one-sided.
But the only reason why you did it is because you knew at the time you're... boyfriend/ex-boyfriend was fooling around.
Yeah.
So did he ever find out and get mad?
I did tell him years later. Because there was a time he came back and he apologized for a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, you know I banged that dude, right?
What'd he say?
And he's like, oh, like you can tell he was very uncomfortable. I'm like, hmm. Because he asked me after the facts. I think he knew.
Yeah.
Because, like, when we got back together, I'm like, so did you bang that person? Like, bang anybody? And he's like, I almost did. And she wanted me to go back into her room. But, like, because they were at a house party or something. And I ended up crashing on the couch. I didn't go back in the room with her. We did kiss, but we didn't do anything else. Did you? It's like, he was, like, full on. Like, I think he knew. And I'm like, no. Because honestly, because we had discussed it. Like, whatever. You don't have to tell me, because whatever we do when we're broken up is not my business.
Wait, so you lied?
I lied.
Oh. First of all, why are you going to ask the question? If you know that he's going to turn around and ask you back.
Now that I think of it, no, because this was like 8 years ago. So I didn't ask him. He told me. I didn't want to know. I'm like, okay, enough.
Oh, he just point blank told you.
He just told me, like, when we got back to, I didn't know. Like, I didn't have sex with her. I just made out with her. And I'm like, why are you telling me this?
You're like, well, sucks for you because I already
right.
had
yeah,
sex
no, you're
with
right, because I wouldn't have asked him that because I knew I would have had her answer.
Yeah.
I specifically did not ask him because I didn't want to answer.
But then he just told you and then asked you.
Yep. I full on lied. I didn't care. I was just like, you have caused me so many headaches. I'm just trying to not start a fight right now. We just got back together. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, man.
But anyways, that is the most revenge I've gotten.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Not too bad. But some of these people do take the cake. There's some of them are a little longer. Some of it, so bear with me.
Okay.
So this one person says, in college, I met the woman who I thought was the one. We dated for about 2 years and had a big wedding after a 10-month engagement. And her family was pretty well-to-do in a small southern town. So we had both continuing our educations, and I was also working to support us. I was pursuing a master's in engineering, which is a legit. If you're going to get a master's, it's not a bad one to do.
Sounds very smart.
While she was finishing her doctorate in anthropology, which I'm just basing this off the show Archer. It's like, what are you going to do with that? Teach anthropology?
I don't even know what that is. So
don't worry about it. It's basically, I think if I remember correctly, the what is it called? The history and like the research of like old cultures.
Okay.
Anywho, over the summer, an opportunity came up for her to make extra money going as an aide on a religious study trip to Jamaica.
Jeez, okay.
I did not hesitate when she asked me about it. I mean, she was going to get to visit Jamaica and get paid for it. I saw no downside other than missing her being at home for about 6 weeks. So little did I know at the time, but she had been sleeping with a professor. He had hung out with us, smoked my weed, and drank with me. And I considered him a friend who arranged the trip for a couple of months. And it was just a getaway for them to bang all over the island.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like the whole studying or whatever was just a lie.
Yeah. So I, clueless and happy, went about the weeks while she was gone, taking extra shifts so I can match what she made in our account and surprise her.
Oh,
what a dummy, right? One of the students from the trip actually sought me out to clue me in. I didn't believe him until I started looking for evidence on my own. I broke down and checked her texts while she was sleeping, and nothing was there. There were a few voicemails. I decided to listen, and there it was. A message from the giant a-hole saying how excited it was that I almost caught him or them. I opened up her laptop and hit the emails after that, and it was piles and piles of stuff, them making fun of me for not knowing, messing around in our bed and laughing about it.
Ew, why?
There was so much, and I was so heartbroken. Still too hurt to take any action. I was lost. I had no idea what to do, so I sat on it for a couple of weeks, and I acted as I normally would. I noticed everything now, and I felt so stupid for not seeing it before. So many signs. One stuck out in particular. I noticed that our stash of homemade weed lubricant was going down, even though we weren't active.
Oh!
So it was obvious they were using the fruits of my labor to get, you know.
That's so not okay. It.
And this really ticked me off, like unreasonably so, Hulk mad.
What'd he put in there?
It finally hit me. I was nothing but a joke to these imbeciles, and they were using the lubricant I made and sleeping in my bed. I didn't hurt anymore. I just wanted to make them hurt. So while she was studying at the library, I made a new batch of lubricant. I put enough weed in it so it would smell normal, but I also added some poison ivy from our backyard in the mixture. And after refilling the spray bottle we used for application, I waited. A few days go by, and I'm working extra so I can be out of the house more, and bam, bait taken. That night, after she goes to sleep, my plan goes into action. I speak on the phone away and delete my contact while replacing his phone number in, like, so he gets on her phone, deletes his number, and then replaces the professor guy.
Yeah.
He changes his number to his.
Okay, so now
he's texting as the professor, but it's really his number. I go to bed, but I can't sleep because it feels like I'm five and tomorrow is Christmas. Dawn arrives and she's in the shower. I got a text. Or I get to a text. Hey, I'm pretty super itchy. Are you okay? She sends this text to the professor, who she thinks is the professor.
But it's really him.
Yes. Now, Lord, is my time. Me acting as the professor. Look, I thought it had cleared up, but I guess I had a flare-up. I'm sorry, but I've got herpes, and I guess now you do, too. I heard her squeak in the shower. I'm covering my mouth, trying not to lose it. I went on to tell her that it was time to end things now. A new semester was about to start, and I kind of had a crush on another TA. I wanted her mad. This is a woman that never got told no growing up and never had to deal with rejection, let alone from a balding dude in his 50s with herpes. When she got out of the shower, it was obvious she had been crying, but I could see the anger in her eyes. I could see how uncomfortable she was squirming at the table, drinking, coughing, and mulling the situation over. Another little nudge is what she needed. Then the reply she got to her pages and pages of anger and sadness was, thanks for the good times, but can you keep this a secret between us?
The quote-unquote professor said
yes.
That. Oh,
I don't want to ruin my chances with anyone else. Oh, she's flush with anger now. She's seething. She gathered her keys and headed out the door without even saying goodbye. I knew where she was going.
To his house, right?
Yep, I booted up her laptop and set it to reformat, deleting her dissertation, which... when you're studying to get your PhD, you have to do a dissertation, which is like a big, imagine like a big report.
Okay.
But it takes like a year or so to do. It's huge.
He deleted it?
He deleted it and any notes pertaining to it before following her to campus.
Before following her to confront him?
To confront the professor, the actual professor.
What? He deleted it?
Oh. That's, I feel like everything else, like I'm like, that might have been the step too far, but I'm like... do one or the other, but I'm like, you do you, boo.
Whoa.
I parked a few lots over and rushed over to his office where I found her screaming at him for giving her herpes. That's a lot of people there. Professors, aides, students, other faculty. I am dying. He is beyond embarrassed and confused as heck. She's ugly crying in front of her peers and I'm in heaven. I didn't even care that people were going to think I had herpes too. The fallout was apocalyptic in their department. He lost his job due to code of conduct at the university. We got divorced the following year. State law was we had to be separated for one full year before being granted a divorce. And I got to keep most of the assets, primarily savings, which, I mean, it's not a ton, but it worked. I worked for it.
Yeah.
And she never finished her doctorate and went on to be a perpetually pregnant housewife that sells Herbalife on Facebook and now teaches high school now. It took a few years for it to all unfold, but watching it was glorious.
Wait, do you think he, like, came clean, like, right then and there?
I don't think he ever did.
Whoa. Well, because he must have had to come clean with changing the number to the professor.
Maybe. Who knows?
Because.
Unless, I don't know. Maybe.
But then, like, the whole itchy and deleting the.
Unless he went back and, like, when she got home, like, maybe changed it back or deleted it or something. I don't know.
Dude.
I have no idea.
I don't think that's too far. I love it.
I mean...
dude, if you're going to be a cheating whore and like and make fun of you for the guy not catching on, and like, why are you even staying in that relationship? Like, get over yourself, dump the guy before you do all that. So yeah, I don't think it's too far. Do you think it's too far?
No.
I'm also a crazy bitch though, so...
yeah, my thing is that people are like, well, he poisoned them. It's like, no, that's his lube he made and they took it for something else. That's on them.
Yeah, they didn't ask if they could use it. They didn't ask what was in it. Plus, yeah. Like, it's poison ivy.
Yeah.
It's not like he drugged them or something.
Right. This one I remember reading and I'm very curious to see what you think.
Okay. The crazy bitch of me.
Yes. So my parents divorced when I was in the first grade. Not only did my dad disappear like Houdini, he stole my mother's ATM card to her personal account and drained her dry.
Oh.
My mother, being the saint that she is, she didn't even bat an eye. She was still cordial to him and she never said a negative word about him.
Well.
Which is very, like, mature. Impressive. Like, mature. Because, like, I feel like it's pretty crappy when you do see people, like, when they have their own differences. Like, talking crap about the parents to the kids.
It's very awkward.
It's very awkward. It's not, I don't think it's nice. I mean, just because you have beef. But I'm like, something like this, that would make sense.
Oof.
But just like your standard regular beef. Like, don't talk crap. To me, my dad, albeit abandoning us, was still my hero. From the first through fifth grade, I had the usual abandoned dad stories. Maybe one or two visits in a year, that in addition to the 50 or so instances of me waiting by the front window with my suitcase packed to go to his house and him never showing up.
Aww.
My mom, through all of this, was supportive and never said any ill words about him. But so he still stayed my hero. When I was in sixth grade, my mother finally remarried, and my father, who had a picture of me at 8 months old in his wallet, went ballistic, who only had a tiny little picture. He went ballistic. Did I mention he never paid child support? He would use his father's social security number, they had the same name, to get away with it. After my mom remarried, he let it be known that I was now my stepdad's responsibility. He cut off communication with me until I graduated from high school. He didn't attend my graduation or send a card. What did he do was write me an email thanking God he no longer had to pay child support, which he didn't anyway. So he sent an email to his kids saying, thank God I don't have to pay child support.
Oh, this guy's a piece of work.
What really broke me was this ruthless and brutal attack on my mother. Attacking her weight, her looks, her teeth, and blaming any perceived negative traits that I had on her.
Mm.
So for the first time, I realized what a cowardly piece of trash he was.
It's about time, damn.
I responded in kind, and he told me I was no child of his and that I was a waste. After that, I vowed that I would hurt him. 10 years later, my father, not interested in my wedding or my son, reached out to me. You see, he's diabetic and one of his organs were failing and he didn't have long. He's too far down on the list and he needed someone in our family to donate. Nuclear revenge activated. I answered his email and I met up with him and pretended that I didn't hate his guts. I went on, got tested to see if I was a match, and I was. Did the therapy, met with the doctors and his therapist. We scheduled the surgery, and the day of the surgery, we meet at the hospital. I smiled in his face and let him know that I wouldn't be going through with the surgery.
Oh!
I watched the confusion line his face. I just wanted you to know that you're no father to me and you're a waste. I left the hospital and drove home. My mom was pretty annoyed with me that I took it that far. But my father is dying and I will be attending the funeral out of spite. And I will let everyone know what a piece of trash he was.
Oh, man, that is so savage.
I'm like,
that is savage.
I don't blame him at all.
You mean you don't blame her?
Oh, I don't know if it's a girl or a guy.
Oh, I thought it was a girl.
I thought it was a dude, but it could be a girl. I don't know.
That is crazy. To go through like the procedures and the matching and all the visits that might have taken or whatever, and like actual schedule a surgery. Like you might want to tell the surgeon ahead of time that this isn't going to happen. That, wow. I'm torn on this one.
Yeah, right?
I think that was a savage move. And I think it takes balls to do that. I just don't know if I would have the balls to do that. But I would never
have gone that far, but I'd probably been like, you're not getting my...
I love that you're a waste. So
yeah, that line.
Have fun dying. Like,
oh my God.
What? And like, if you go to the funeral, everyone there who does like him or whatever.
Is there going to be anybody that likes him?
True. Yeah. But they're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's epic.
Well, I mean, he seems like a con man. He probably would have conned someone else to give him something. Or he alienated everybody else.
If it needed to be a family member.
Yeah.
Because he's just so low on the list, you know, like he really might have died. And then she's at the funeral and everyone's like, you could have saved him. Sorry.
No, he said I was no child of his, so...
I know. I kind of love it, honestly. It's horrible, but I love it. If you're going to treat your child like that, then your child can treat you however the hell they want.
Right. That is freaking low. Here's another one. It's a work one.
Okay.
I used to work for some kind of full-stack agency as a coder, you know, doing website, desktop applications, and integrations for customers. Life was good and it even got better after managing to provide an important customer with 5-star hotels all around my country with a great website with integration to their ERP and also mobile solutions, which didn't exist then in my country. A headhunter found me. He offered me nearly triple the salary I was getting, and it was impossible to say no to that. I informed my employer and gave him a generous notice of a month so I could wrap up the last projects. Let me warn you that I was a very young and incredibly trusting person then. When my employer told me that there were some problems and that I'd have to receive my last paycheck with the next one, I accepted. I think in my last paycheck with the next one. Okay. Last day of my job, when he asked me to sign the paper that declares I had nothing indebted to me by the company, I signed it. I was a moron and I was young. They never paid me, of course. So basically two paychecks were going to go in one.
Oh.
And so at the end, like, oh yeah, it's coming. It's going to be with your last one. We're going to just combine them and it's going to go to your next one. And so at the end, he signed it. Like, we don't owe you anything.
Ugh.
So even though they stiffed, that way was a lump in my throat and I tried to gulp it down. I worked hard at my new job trying to prove that I can do better than I did before. But another sneak attack from my ex-employer was the last drop. One day I arrived at work and my new employer called me into the office. He explained that my ex-employer reached out to him and told him that I was lazy, a liar, worthless, and it wasn't worth the effort to have me as an employee because they were about to sue me. So I wouldn't be able to do any work with all that legal stuff. I was beet red. I apologized for being a nuisance and I'd say I'd clear my desk instantly. He laughed cheerfully and said, "You've been working for me for 2 weeks and you've completed two high quality websites and half of a desktop app. I'll cut my own throat before I fire you."
Oh, wow.
Still, I was so shaken that he had to give me permission to leave early. I went home and cried, not because of sorrow, because of rage. I couldn't touch them. I just couldn't. That's the day I fired up Google and typed how to hack for the first time in my life.
Oh.
The first response was a forum in my native language. And I started reading and gosh, I had a lot to read. Coding and hacking, even though they share the same expertise, vary so much when it comes to details. So it's similar to what he's doing, but it's specific details that are different. I confess, it was then impossible for me to think like them, but thankfully the forum crawled with helpful technical tutorials telling me the hows and whys of every exploit I could use.
Yeah, this sounds like a very smart thing.
As I said, I was young and a moron. Back then, I had my own mini admin framework that I used in every website and I made, and I realized there was a crucial mistake I made in calls to create new records, user pages, new items, galleries, everything. I wasn't checking the authorization at all. It would have been nearly impossible for a hacker to use this because he wouldn't know or get exposed to the exact call, but I knew it. So because he knew like the little fault, nobody else would know where to look. He knew where to look in the websites he made. It was about 6 a.m. when I finished reading. I used public transportation to go to the other end of the city. I found an internet cafe where the young attendant didn't care about IDs because when you like in Europe and stuff, you give them like ID, you pay for your time on the internet.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least this was like when I went there, like at 17. Anywho. And it didn't have security cameras. I sat in the corner and I started breaking every single website I made for them. There was one about pastry materials, a website consisting of over 1,000 ingredients. In the main page, a random assortment from each ingredient type would be shown as a gallery. I replaced about 20 of them with images of human waste.
Ew!
Like an ingredient website.
Ugh.
Only 20, so a viewer could get used to it wouldn't realize the error until some time had passed. I made the chief physician of a hospital page.
Physician?
The angel of death himself with images of in a special bio.
Oh.
So they made him, instead of a doctor, the angel of death.
Oh!
People don't look into physician bio pages, so I was sure it wouldn't be found out for long. And I made an announcement in Ultra Nationalist Party's AIDS website that their number one enemy would be giving a speech. In a local newspaper page, I made all old videos instead of link to the famous Lotuma video where the anime girl spins a leek in her hand. It's just this, I guess, I don't know what that is, but okay. Slowly, a few websites a day, I broke every single website I made for them, approximately 60 websites or so.
Wow.
The backlash from customers seemed to have been furious in a domino effect. He lost his customers' trust and his references, which simply means everything for this kind of job. Once the proud owner of one of the biggest, best agents in the region now tries to work in a tiny office, making a living doing third-rate websites for his with his manager's meager skill. Because the guy who's running it, he hired other people to do this.
He doesn't know how to fix it.
Even though I never met him during this period, one of my friends was working under him until the last moment. I love listening to the struggle to find out how I did it because they knew I did it. They just had no way of proving it while losing more and more customers every day from my friend.
Dang, so she never got caught.
Yeah.
Because that's like illegal, isn't it?
Probably. Probably.
I mean, I would say I'm all down except for it's illegal, so I probably can't. But her old boss seems like a real tool.
I do love that you think that all the people that are the stories, you're making them into women.
I am!
I think that's kind of funny.
I am making them all into women.
Because I think you're trying to put yourself in these shoes.
Wow, that's
I just
weird.
Assume this is a dude.
That's funny. You assume it's a dude, and I keep assuming it's a female.
Oh, there is one that I feel like you might relate to. I think it's at the end that we'll read one more. Because like I said, these are pretty long.
It's probably a good thing that I'm so afraid to get into trouble. Because I feel like if I was revengeful, I would like do all of these. Like I would just take it like
spiteful,
too
vengeful.
Far.
Oh my God, you would.
I would.
I spent a whole like day like reading all these because there's a lot of these.
I would make sure it was legal. Like I would almost kill the person, but like it was still legal, so I wouldn't get into trouble.
Hmm. Okay.
Right. So then, like, I get the last laugh. It's just good. I'm not. I can't do revenge.
All right. I feel like the last one's really gonna hit you hard because you are one that has had to go through multiple surgeries before.
Yes.
Because you are a dancer and stuff, very active. You've had, and plus you've hurt your pinky toe.
And I'm clumsy. Yeah, some of the surgeries are for good reasons, others not so much.
All right, so I feel like you're very much going to love this revenge.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
So in my teens, I had to have numerous operations. Therefore, I always ended up at one particular hospital that specialized in my condition. Now, the hospital was high quality with staff that was very caring and looked out for their patients that they had. They gave you essentially the 5-star treatment. After all, they were charging our insurance an incredible amount of money. So that probably had something to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
But one particular operation I had, it all went to heck. It wasn't like this type of procedure wasn't something I hadn't done in the past. It was about the third time I needed to have it done. No pressure whatsoever. Essentially, it entailed breaking both your legs, placing rods into them, and put them back into the proper place so they would end up growing correctly.
That was his third time getting the surgery. Oh, man.
They would be in there for a few months to heal, then they were taken out.
Oh.
During this time, I would have to turn these small little handles to be in the right position for my bones according to the pre-printed schedule given to me by my doctor. So they had to, like, crank it. It's like it hurt like heck, but it was worth it in the end. So it would crank it to kind of put them in the right spot. I'm guessing kind of what they do with braces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Similar.
Oh.
Despite how often I had it done, it was extremely painful, especially for the first few weeks after the procedure was done. Any vibrations would send shockwaves of pain through your entire body, regardless of how doped up you were on painkillers. Which you know a little bit about, because painkillers don't work on you.
No, no. Yeah, when I got one of my surgeries, they were like pumping me with so much morphine, and I was still in so much pain. And one of the nurses said, dude, if I had this much morphine in me, I would be dead.
Yeah.
Like, we can't give you any more. And I'm like, but it still hurts. And they're like, what the hell? How is she not like passed out or something?
Right. Holy crap.
I'm hardcore. Oh.
So the doctors took extra care to ensure that any trip back home was as smooth as possible. Literally, they all understood that without a jet back to my home, to like the home city, which was about 40 minutes away from the hospital on the jet.
Dang.
It was medically required that I travel, like that I need to be traveled home back to by in a med jet, a medical jet.
That's cool, actually.
So imagine every single bump you experience while driving for any period of time. Now imagine being sent to the shockwaves of 10 out of 10 pain every single time you went over that bump. Huh. You get the idea.
Yes.
Now, most hospitals offer a liaison to individuals with the hospital to deal with their insurance. So you have one person that's like talking to the insurance and helping you so you can deal with all that.
Yeah, the middleman.
Just have the individual talk to the doctor, and right away they would work out what the doctor wanted with the company. No hassle. We didn't take up that offer because we understood how everything worked and it was never an issue. But the hospital always offered us one anyways. And yes, these liaisons were not employees of the insurance company, but of the hospital.
Okay.
So mind you, even though they're working with the insurance company, they're not actually employees of the insurance company. They're working for the hospital. They were designed to look after the best interest of the patients and to justify it to the insurance company. It's like, hey, you need to pay for this because this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Then our designated liaison decided that our request to not have one was unacceptable, and thus he would intentionally intervene at every chance he could. Because they're like, oh, we don't need a liaison. So he went in there anyways.
Oh.
And like got in there and got his nose up and everything. He even went as far as to deny our nurse requests for extra pillows because the hospital only allows a certain amount of pillows per person, despite the nurse literally stating it was fine.
Wow.
But nope, since he was at a higher level, he apparently had the final say. When it's nearing our time to leave the hospital, like always, the doctor wanted the bill to bill the insurance for the medical jet because it was medically required. Same old, same old. However, our clown liaison disagreed with the doctor's assessment that it was medically required, justified his opinion based upon our insurance company definitions of medically required. Naturally, the doctor flipped his lid and verbally curb stomped this idiot. Liaison, listen, simply avoiding pain isn't something that insurance will cover. It's not medically required to avoid pain. The doctor is like, are you kidding me? You realize this patient would have to drive 12 hours in a cramped ambulance with two broken legs in excruciating pain if they didn't fly.
Oh, good. Doctor got your back.
It's absolutely unheard of. You literally would have to have two EMTs drive them back home just in case anything happened. So not only are you paying to have the two EMTs drive 12 hours there, you have to drive 12 hours back.
Yeah, and then
it's a 40-minute drive, like jet drive.
And then he has to get picked up by the ambulances.
If something happens, yeah.
Ay.
The cost is only just marginally smaller than a darn jet. It's only a little bit less than having a jet anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, why just take the jet? Plus, there's a small chance the rods could become disruptive if anything happens in the car, and that's the justification. Liaison says the odds of any crash happening are not high enough for the company to justify it.
Ugh.
This would hurt the company if we keep doing this. Doctor says, listen, I don't know why on God's green earth you are even arguing with me. This isn't up to you. You're not a doctor and you have no medical training. You were given a goddarn list of insurance companies' policies and now you think you can properly diagnose what is or what isn't medically required? I've done this for thousands of patients with this very company, and now you get your butt back into your office, bill the freaking insurance company properly, and shut the heck up.
Yeah!
You work for us, not them. I was in earshot of this entire conversation, so that's how he knows.
Mic freaking drop!
A week later, on the day of the departure, we learned what happened when he went back to his office. He had called the insurance company and began going through the proper channels to get the jet approved. However, he began dropping small hints to the rep that, in his opinion, driving would also be fine. So naturally, on the day before our departure, we got a call from the insurance company denying the request. I was furious. There wasn't time to appeal the decision. There wasn't anything any of us could do. Even my doctor was stuck because the liaison worked for a different department, so he couldn't even fire the guy. He apologized time and time again, ensuring the 12-hour ambulance ride would be as comfortable as possible. He even told the driver to keep me as medicated as possible to ensure it went well. Naturally, it did nothing, and it was the most hellish 12-hour experience of my life. I was screaming the entire 12 hours. The ambulance wasn't even outfitted with a bed. It only had some tied a hammock thing. Two EMTs had to endure nonstop screaming from someone who didn't even belong in the ambulance in the first place.
Oh, no, that's so sad.
Everyone was furious and everyone blamed that one man. Everyone wanted him fired, but they had no medical reason to fire him because according to the union's policies, he technically did what he was supposed to do. The only way to let him go is for him to have caused the patient some type of harm that the doctor warned about. So the day after my trip, my doctor insisted I see a medical professional in my hometown. You know, ensure nothing else happened on the trip. This was like the third time I had done this, so it was a pretty common request I was familiar with. As I was still fuming, this is when I hatched my plan.
Dun, dun, dun.
I knew I was the only one with control over the rod's proper position. Because if you remember, the rods are in his legs, you know, to make sure they grow right.
Oh.
I knew having the rods not properly dialed in for a few days wouldn't do any long-term harm and would only result in a lot of pain to dial it back in afterwards. I knew my doctor would be furious if anything happened out of the ordinary, his reputation being on the line and such, and I knew no medical professional had checked my rods to confirm their current settings after the trip. I popped three pain pills, waited for them to kick in, and I unscrewed every single rod to the lowest setting possible. Just for reference, after the procedure, they end up setting the starting point for these rods somewhere in the mid-range of their settings. So it was the worst pain of my life. I was wheeled into my local doctor with the adjustment notebook in hand. I kept playing dumb, saying I believe everything was going fine, but my legs felt awful, and it was possible he could just make sure everything was going okay. He began his inspection, and his face went white when he realized where the bolts were set. He asked me what setting they had been on when I left the hospital, and I told him. Again, he did not look happy. He told me that something must have happened on the trip, and he would need to properly adjust them back into place. He said it would hurt like heck, but it needed to be done. The screaming at the appointment was, Let's just say disruptive. I didn't even have to fake it. It was genuinely one of the most painful things I've ever experienced in my life.
Disruptive. Yeah, your whole building probably could hear you.
My doctor was furious. And as he was up to date on the entire liaison situation, he excused himself after the readjustment of the rod to the back room. I assume he thought I was out of earshot. He was wrong. He phoned my doctor out of state and he had a few choice words with him. Local doctor asked, how could you let this happen? Do you know how dangerous this could have been? If he hadn't had an appointment with me this fast, his freaking bones could have permanently grown in the wrong place, and he would need another surgery to fix this freaking mess. I don't know what kind of freaking operation you have going over there, but there is zero chance I will ever refer anyone to my clinic to you. Do you hear me how hard it is to control your freaking insurance handlers? Fast forward to my operation to remove my rods, back in that specialist hospital out of state. The liaison was not only terminated, oh no. The liaison got accused of intentionally trying to endanger the life of a patient, lying to the insurance company, and lying about a doctor's medical assessment for his own benefit. And no idea where the last accusation came from. Maybe it was lodged as an additional justification to fire him. Who knows? I don't know quite all the consequences of his actions, but I can only muster up a few details from my doctor. From what my doctor described, the hospital put a notice to every hospital in the state to not hire him.
Wow.
Those hospitals apparently also sent notices out to all the hospitals in their surrounding areas not to hire this man. This ended up resulting in a domino effect that barred him from working in almost every single hospital in the country. I wanted him fired, but I did not plan on getting him blacklisted. Nevertheless, I was giddy, especially after my doctor informed me that there was no lasting damage for the mistake he caused. Fast forward about 4 years, I hear through the grapevine that he ended up having to change professions because of the accusations. End up doing some waste management job or something.
Yeah, you don't risk hiring someone with that kind of track record.
Oh, especially when it comes to the medical field?
Yeah, hell no.
I was going to say, you probably were like, yes, burn, baby, burn.
That is insane. I'm glad the doctor didn't get in trouble, because at first I thought his doctor in his hometown was going to like rip the specialist a new one.
He kind of did yell at him, but...
Yeah, but then once they realized, like, dude, this had nothing to do. I was wanting him to take the jet. Yes. But that is crazy. And what was up the lazai? What's the
liaison?
The liaison. What was up his ass?
He just wanted to be in power, I guess.
I guess.
Hope you enjoyed it.
That's horrible. Like, I don't know.
Just let him
that's,
take the jet.
Idea. What's going to bother you?
It's not going to cost you any money.
Yeah, you're not paying for it. And it's way more comfortable. And if anybody's had any type of surgery and like they're that uncomfortable in pain, like seriously, I totally understand the whole like driving home and like any little bump. Mm-hmm. You're like, please drive slower. Please drive. I can't handle. I could not imagine 12 hours of that.
Nope.
And like his surgeries sound very, very intense. And the fact that he like, I think I just couldn't cause more harm to myself just to get revenge. Yeah. Like that, I don't think I could have done that. Especially to know, like, if something had went wrong, the bones could have grown in a different place and, like, he could have had to get surgery again. Like, that is dedication.
Oh, God. But have you guys ever done anything quite this bad? Or even something as simple as, you know, being friends with all your ex's friends?
Like I did. Sleeping with your ex's best friend or sister or mother
or somebody
or
they hated.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you have an epic story like this?
We want to hear the revenge stories.
And if you don't want us to say your name, we won't.
Yeah, we will not. Because, I mean, even though we're trying to keep it positive, it's like, I'm glad that people, like karma. Karma is taking effect. And like, even though it was done by the hands of somebody, you know, revenge and stuff, but these people deserved it.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you. I know this went long, but revenge, man. Talk to you guys next time.
Bye.